Chapter 53. Elizabeth Devereaux was waiting exactly where she had left me, right next to her car, 6 feet from the tree line. I stepped out of the woods right in front of her, and she jumped a little, but then she gathered herself pretty quickly. I guessed she didn't want to insult me by being surprised I had made it, or she didn't want to show she had been anxious, or both. I kissed her on the lips and handed back the Winchester, and she asked, "What happened?" I said, "There's some kind of a citizens' council from Tennessee, some kind of a half-assed amateur backwoods militia. They're leaving now."
"I heard a handgun."
"One of them was so overcome with regret he committed suicide."
"Did he have things to regret?"
"More than most."
"Who brought them here?"
I said, "That's the big question, isn't it?" I returned her spare shotgun ammunition from my pockets. She made me put it in the trunk myself. Then we drove back to town. My new Beretta dug into my thigh and my stomach all the way. We passed through the black half of Carter Crossing, and then we thumped over the railroad track, and then we pulled into the sheriff's department's lot. Home base for Devereaux. Safety, she said.
"Go get a cup of coffee. I'll be back soon."
"Where are you going?"
"I have to give Mrs. Lindsay the news about her son."
"That won't be easy."
"No, it won't."
"Want me to come with you?"
"No," she said. "That wouldn't be appropriate."
I watched her drive away, and then I headed to the diner for coffee and for the phone. I kept my mug close at hand on the hostess station and dialed Stan Lowry's office. He picked up himself. I said, "You're still there. You still got a job. I don't believe it." He said, "That stuff is getting old, Reacher. You'll look back on it like the dying embers of a happy time." "What do you want?" "From life in general, that's a big question. From me?" "I want many things from you," I said. "Specifically, I want you to check some names for me. In every database you can find, mostly civilian, if you can, including government stuff. Call the D.C. police and try to get them to help. The FBI, too, if there's anyone over there still speaking to you."
"On the up and up or on the quiet?"
"On the very quiet."
"What names?"
"Janice Mae Chapman," I said.
"That's the dead woman, right?"
"One of several."
"And?"
"Audrey Shaw," I said.
"Who is she?"
"I don't know. That's why I want you to check her out."
"In connection with what?"
"She's a loose end connected to another loose end."
"Audrey Shaw,"
he said slowly, as if he was writing it down. Then he said, "What else?" I asked, "How far away is Garber's office from yours?"
"It's on the other side of the stairwell."
"I need him on the line, so go get him and drag him over by the scruff of his raggedy old neck."
"Why not just call him direct?"
"Because I want him on your line, not his." No answer, except a plastic thump as he laid down the phone on his desk, and a grunt as he stood up, and a hiss as his chair cushion recovered its shape. Then silence, which was expensive because I was on a payphone. I fed it another quarter and waited. Whole minutes passed. I started to think Garber was sitting tight, refusing to come. But then I heard the phone lift up off the desk, and the familiar voice asked, "What the hell do you want now?" "I want to talk to you," I said. "So call me. We have switchboards now, and extensions. They're listening to your line. I think that's pretty obvious, isn't it? You're a pawn here, the same as me. Therefore, someone else's line is safer." Garber was quiet for a beat.
"Possible," he said. "What have you got for me?"
The boots on the ground outside of Kellam were an unofficial force. a local citizens' militia, evidently part of some weirdo network of true patriots. Apparently, they were here to defend the army from unjustified harassment.
"Well, Mississippi," he said, "what do you expect?"
"They were from Tennessee, actually," I said, "and you're missing the point. They didn't just happen to be here. They weren't just passing by on a whim. They weren't here for a vacation. They were deployed here. They have a contact somewhere who knew exactly when and exactly where and exactly how and exactly why they would be needed. Who would have that kind of information?"
"Someone who had all the facts from the get-go."
"And where would we find such a person?"
"Somewhere high up."
"I agree," I said. "Any idea who?"
"None at all."
"You sure?" "You need to put me in the loop here if you can."
"I'm sure. You're already in the loop as much as I am."
"Okay. Go back to your office. 5 minutes from now, I'm going to call you. You can ignore what I say because it won't mean much, but stay on the line long enough to let the tape recorders roll."
"Wait," Garber said. "There's something I have to tell you."
"Like what?"
"News from the Marine Corps."
"What kind of news?"
"There's some kind of issue with Elizabeth Devereaux."
"What kind of issue?"
"I don't know yet. They're playing hard to get. They're making a real big deal about access. The file she's in is apparently some super toxic thing. Highest category, biggest deal in the world, and similar bullshit. But word is, there was some big scandal about 5 years ago. The story is, Devereaux got some other Marine MP fired for no good reason. Rumors say it was personal jealousy. 5 years ago is 3 years before she quit. Was she honorably discharged?"
"Yes, she was."
"Voluntary separation or involuntary?"
"Voluntary."
"Then there's nothing there," I said.
"Don't worry about it."
"You're thinking with the wrong part of your body, Reacher."
5 minutes, I said. "Be back at your desk." The waitress freshened my cup, and I drank most of the new brew while I counted 300 seconds in my head. Then I stepped back to the phone and dialed Garber direct. He answered, and I said,
"Sir, this is Major Reacher reporting from Mississippi. Can you hear me?"
Garber said,
"Loud and clear."
I said, "I have the name of the individual who ordered the Tennessee Free Citizens to kill him. That order became part of a criminal conspiracy in that it resulted in 2 homicides and 2 felony assaults. I have an appointment I need to keep at the Pentagon the day after tomorrow, and then I'll return to base immediately afterward, and I'll get JAG Corps involved at that point in time." Garber was on the ball. He caught on fast and played his part well. He asked,
"Who was the individual?"
I said, "I'll keep that strictly to myself for the next 48 hours, if you don't mind." Garber said,
"Understood."
I dabbed the cradle to end the call, and then I dialed a new number. Colonel John James Fraser's billet, deep inside the Pentagon, the Senate liaison guy. I got his scheduler and made a 12 o'clock appointment with him in his office for the day after next. I didn't say why, because I couldn't. I didn't have a real reason. I just needed to be somewhere in the giant building as bait in a trap. Then I sat at a table and waited for Devereaux. I knew a woman who ate like she did wouldn't be long.